the Lord. Please, let's open the Bible. To Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. We are in a treacherous time. Darkness is threatening to overrun the borders of our habitation. There is an urgency in the heart of the Father to raise functionaries that can keep the gate. The purpose of church is not just a place where people gather. My heart is broken now. I'm seeing people standing who have no seats. It's as if they had to do away with the seats. Please, bear with us. Bear with us. We'll make arrangement from next week. I was told people are standing outside. Some are standing over fences, buildings. By next week, we will sort it out. You know, the reason I choose this place is because I want to teach and raise people. So I didn't intend to begin something bogus. I wanted to have a query site where we drill people. But if we can't manage it, after 3 months, we will relocate. But I assure you, next week we will make arrangements for that. So please bear with us. It won't be like this next week. Meanwhile, we have people coming from far and wide. From next week, we will have an Abuja cruise. So we can manage. Praise the Lord. So we are in a treacherous time. Darkness is threatening. Pastor Steve, you're welcome. It's threatening to erode the purposes of God on the face of the earth. And it happens to be that the way God advances his kingdom is through his functionaries. God is a king. And it will be belittling for God to come to the scene and attempt to advance his agenda himself. If God were to fight, who would he fight with? If God were to war, who would stand him? If God were to, the Bible said, with a blast of his nostrils, he parted the Red Sea. When Job wanted to bring a case against God, he told him, "Where were you when I formed the boundary of the ocean?" He said, "Can you command the sweet influences of Pleiades?" That means God does not only talk to men, he talks to galaxies. The one we are talking about can speak to a whole galaxy and it will move. Meanwhile, all of us are on one planet. And in one planet, we are on one of the bodies, 8. And there are 9 bodies in this planet. And there are over 100 million planets. And God can speak to galaxies. So if God wanted to deal with you, what would he say? He's too bogus. And because he's too bogus, what he does is that he decides to crystallize his purpose through the people he created, the beings he created. And on the strength of that, they can play out his will. And so, for us to be effective and relevant in the hand of God, we need to know his person so that we can take marching orders from him. And so, when Daniel the prophet peeped into the spirit and he began to utter his oracles, he said, "For you to make impact in the agenda of God, there's a prerequisite." The prerequisite for making impact in the agenda of God, he said, is the experiential knowledge of God. The reason is because you didn't come here just to breathe oxygen. You came here because there is an agenda that God had in his mind. Before he began the project of man, he had concluded and perfected that agenda. And he wanted you to play a role in fulfilling that agenda. And so the prophet was speaking and he said, for you to participate in that agenda, he said, you must know him. And so he said, they that do know their God, he said, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. That means their life will become consistent with an agenda that predates their existence. And the things we are talking about here is before man. It's not even an agenda that began with man. Because what man is coming to do before man was ever created, there were spirits that were created in the realm of God. Because the Bible made us to understand that there was war in heaven. There were beings that decided to turn against the policies of God. And he said, Lucifer, he captained a quadrant, one third of the angels, and he rebelled against God. And he said he decided to fight against God. But because God is too big, he can't fight Lucifer. So what God decided to do was to mobilize another angel. Because as mighty as Lucifer was, there were other angels in his cadre, in the ranks of God. And so Michael showed up and fought him out of heaven. And when Lucifer fell into the earth, in Revelation chapter 12 from verse 7, he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Meanwhile, at that time, man had not been created, because earth existed before man came. But Lucifer's only destination was earth. And the moment Lucifer fell on the earth, he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. We don't know the creatures that were on earth at that time. He said, but the great deceiver has come. And you see, when God decided to start a new project, in order to show the excellency of his power, he decided to choose where Lucifer went to. And when he chose earth, he planted man into the earth. And he gave him an insurance policy. He said, so long as you align to my government, you will be able to rule above the powers of Hades and above the power of Lucifer. No matter how powerful he was, even though he was a cherubim, I created you in my own image after my likeness. Just walk with me and you will immobilize that cherub. But when man came, he didn't understand that there was wickedness upon the face of the earth. He didn't understand that there was treachery. He didn't hear the stories of the wars of God. If he was wise, maybe he would have read the books of war. Perhaps he would have seen that once upon a time, there was a battle between an archangel and another archangel. And the territory where he was walking was not a ground of pleasure. He didn't know that warriors of eternity had fallen to the earth. And there were princes of Zion that are now looking for how they will afflict God. And the only way they will do it is to look for creatures that God loves. And on the strength of their afflicting those creatures, they will afflict God. The man showed up in a garden and he said, this is apple. I love apple. And then he eats it and he's excited. He thought it was about eating and drinking. He didn't know that he was in a war zone. There was a prince waiting and looking for how to destroy him. So when God kept him in the garden, the job and the goal or the purpose God had in mind was for him to constantly encounter God. And as he encounters God every day, he will become more like God and he will play out the script of God. So the Bible said, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. He came to educate the man that where you are is a war zone. There are princes here. There are creatures that want to jeopardize what I'm doing. You didn't come here for fun. But the man didn't know that encounter was the purpose of the garden. Because before he stepped out of the garden, he needed to be equipped. So in Genesis 3:9, the voice of God will come into the garden. Meanwhile, he didn't know what it caused God to come to the garden. Because this God that comes to the garden is a king in heaven. The Bible said, day and night, the 24 elders, they bow. They say, holy, holy. So every time God came into the garden, what he did was that he removed the garment of divinity. He hangs it on the throne and he sneaks out of heaven to look for his obsession. The man didn't know that every time God came, there was thunder and lightning on the throne. But God came because the man needed encounters. But he was having fun with fruits. He was having fun roaming around the garden, calling lions and eagles. He didn't know that something was happening. Kingdom was at war. And so he trivialized his encounter with God and decided to know another spirit. And when he knew that spirit, he became a slave. So the parable the prophet was telling us here, that they do know that do know their God, is a strategic information that he gives to us as an insurance policy in war. Because there is war on earth. Darkness is trying to overrun the earth. And until the purpose of God is established, which is born through experiential encounter, that cannot happen. When you see men worship here and the glory of God descend, it's not a good voice. It's a function of an encounter. Because when they sing, they dispel darkness. When they sing, they sound an alarm in the spirit that moves darkness backward. Because there is another priest that wants to enthrone and establish another government. And so what God called us to do is to teach a generation how to walk in the corridors of encounter. So that they can win the battles of God. Because God won't fight. You'll be the one to fight on behalf of God. You'll be the one to stand in God's quadrant and fight to advance his kingdom. But the only way you will do it is to have an encounter. I assure you, the stories you heard will not suffice when a prince from Hades appears. When a wicked prince shows up from the bellies of Hades, the stories they told you will not suffice. The things you know about God will not suffice. It is what you know in your intimacy with God that will suffice. And until you have something on the strength of your intercourse with God, you cannot advance his kingdom. Because this war, it comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You know, when people come before God, there are three levels of relationship they enjoy. The first level of relationship is to interact with God's benevolence. So when you come to God, you are a sinner. He gives you salvation. He gives you eternal life. He gives you a gift. He gives you everything you look for. Because the first dimension of God you interact with is his benevolence. But with his benevolence, you can't advance kingdom. You will be a child. With his benevolence, he can't even commit kingdom to you. Because every time you show up, "Oh Lord, I need bread and wine," he said, "Take, I'm father, so I will do it." But when it comes to kingdom, you need to grow. You need to journey in God and gain strength. When it comes to kingdom, you need to advance in spiritual stature for him to be able to entrust you. That's why he said the heir, so long as he's a child, he's not different from a servant. I can't give him kingdom because kingdom is not for children. As a child, you can enjoy my benevolence, but kingdom is for those who have grown. Because there is a war, and if I don't allow you to grow, you will self-destruct. Because this prince is manipulative. They can come and tell you, "Did God say you should not surely eat?" You didn't know what he was saying. It's a parable, because he has lived in the realm of God. He knows how to deceive. Only those who have grown by beholding him can fight this battle. And so the first realm is the realm of receiving. That's why you see so many crowd when we call for miracle service. They came to receive. When we call for prosperity service, you see a crowd. They came to receive. There are few kingdom functionaries there. Because when Jesus divided bread, there were 5,000 men. But when he went to Gethsemane, there were 3. Because there are different levels of relationship. There is where you find the crowd, where God is interacting on the strength of his benevolence. When you journey with God deeper, you now come to where you walk with him based on principles. You now learn God's principle and you succeed. But that's still not enough. You can know the whole principle of prosperity, but you are not a kingdom agent. So in Luke chapter 12 verse 16, the man said he gathered his barn. And he said, "Oh, now my soul will rest, for my barn is full." And God said, "You fool." That means principle is not enough. You need an encounter to find out why you came and what God wants to achieve through your life. Until you have that encounter, even if you are a governor, you are a waste. Even if you are a businessman, you are a waste. Because there is a war that God wants you to fight. And the money you have will only become a weapon when you have an encounter with God. That's when you will know that, there's a kingdom to be advanced. You will use your mouth for gossip because you don't know the tongue is an instrument of defense in the spirit. So when people are watching the gates through tongues, you are gossiping up and down because you think you came here to satisfy your ego. You have not known the kingdom. You may succeed in what you are doing, but God can't count on you. Until a man has an encounter, he can't know why he came. So he said to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb," he said, "I knew you. I ordained you and I sanctified you to be a prophet. You didn't come to earth to be creative. You came here because something was written about you. You were supposed to be my prophet to speak on behalf of me." So whatever Jeremiah does on earth, if he doesn't speak for God, his life is a waste. Because encounter is the only premise by which you can find out why you were born. If you don't know why you were born, you will be swallowed up in the battles of the age. There is a prince that wants to bargain with you. He can give you health. He can give you money. Because everything God gives, he can also give. But the purposes of God are born when men begin to have encounters. So the first thing God told us to do is to draw men deeper from just that place where they receive from God, from just that place where they apply principle, to that place where they know him by experience. So that the God you know is the God you encounter, not the God of Apostle Michael. Because the God of Apostle Michael may be a God of mercy. Your own God may be a God of prosperity. Because our assignment is different. Apostle Michael may guide you, but you need to encounter him for yourself. The God of Apostle Michael may be a God of healing. Your own God may be a God of war. Because you are a battle axe.
that may be a different thing. So the hope, the purpose of gathering, which is our vision, is to find the people that know God by experience, not the people that were told about God, not the people that were invited to take what God gives, but the people that journeys into the Holy of Holies and say, it is the Shekinah that I'm looking for. I know God gives healing, I know God gives prosperity, but why can't I have him? Because Abraham journeyed that far. He said, I am your shield, I am your exceeding great reward. I can bless, because Abraham was rich in cattle, in gold, and in all precious things. But beyond the cattle and gold, Abraham knew Elohim. He knew El Shaddai. And Abraham could call God different names. And every name Abraham called God was on the strength of the encounter that he had. Abraham didn't call God a name that somebody told him. He called God the name that he found, because he encountered him in the spirit. Until every one of us begin to know God, the darkness will erode our land. The government will not change. Because even if you pray and change the president, if you get there, you can't make a difference. The only one who can make the difference is the one that have encountered God. So when he gets there, he knows that this is a platform, and this platform is for an assignment. Until the body of Christ begins to travel in the direction of encounter, it will be a waste. Because most of the people we pray for, we are praying for selfish men to go back and still satisfy self. Only men of encounter can bring a change to our world, because the battle is deceptive, is treacherous, is violent. Everything you know that wickedness can be used to define is what this battle is about. And the only way to survive is by an encounter. So God sent us to unveil Christ to a generation, so that as they see him, they begin to have transformations that they didn't learn by reading a book. They begin to have transformations that they have because they experienced him. Until that happens, our coming was in vain. Evangelists, he gave some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, and he gave us a fourfold agenda. He said, until we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. When men begin to see God, we will not know any man after the flesh anymore, because all of us will become a revelation of the different dimensions of Christ. So when you see Owen, you will see a dimension of Jesus. When you see Dulcie, you will see a dimension of Jesus. It will no longer be about how large our congregation is. It will be about the dimensions we represent. Because the dimension we represent will become your spiritual constituency. Because one may come as an intercessor, and when he comes into the meeting, it doesn't matter if we are five. Because that meeting may have an intercessor, a prophet, and an apostle. In that three-man meeting, there is full government at work. Because the intercessor can bring heaven down, the prophet can talk for God, and the apostle will carry into the nations. And then you are wondering, what is happening? Because their rank will no longer be in their size. Their rank will now be in their stature. Because in the spirit, number is not numerical. When you hear 10,000, 10,000 is angelic code. So a man who has grown in stature to the rank of an angel, if two of them gather, that's 20,000. When he say one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to fly, he's not just talking. He's talking about the code in the spirit. That there are two kinds of people that when they stand together, they are more than a nation. Because of the stature that they have assumed, you will be counting two, but in the spirit, they are 20,000. And then you are wondering, what is happening here? They have gained a rank in the spirit. So when you look at, you know, the army of Israel never lost a battle. It's not because of their size, naturally. It's because of the number they represent. Israel's army, in the Bible, when it was counted, was over 600,000 people. When you study the Torah has 300,000 letters. And the Jewish man knows that every letter in the Torah has a spiritual component. So the letter of the Torah is actually 600,000 letters. So when the army of Israel is marching, it's the Torah that is marching. That's why you can't defeat them. So in the spirit, they represent the Torah. It's not just a number, it's a strategy. Because number can mean anything, depending on the rank of the one you are counting. God is looking for men that will encounter him and become like him. Become like him so that he can entrust them with kingdom. Because when these encounters begin to happen, you will now see what will happen. He said, we will grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And if you have studied Christ well in your Bible, you will know that Christ represents three offices. The first office is the office of a son. The second office is the office of a priest. The third office is the office of a prophet. A man who encounters Jesus does not become rich. He may become rich by applying the principles of the kingdom, but a man who encounters Jesus becomes like Jesus. A man who encounters Jesus is not just healed. A man who encounters Jesus becomes like Jesus. And when you become like Jesus, there are threefold manifestations that your life will mirror. Number one is as a son. A son carries government. If you see why God is handicapped in our generation, it's because there are many babes, there are no sons. This does not mean to sound derogatory, but it's the truth. God has a need to send men to different territories, but he can't find them. God wants to send people to government, but if he sends you there, you'll be shocked that your first 1 week you become a millionaire. And the reason you are a millionaire is that you compromise 1,000 times. God is looking for men that will be sent to nations. But most Nigerians, they travel out and they get missing. They will say, 1,000 people traveled out last year. We only found 300. Where are the 700? They have vanished. Because America is their life. They are hoping to go to America to survive. They don't know kingdom. Sons don't wonder. We travel for inheritance. And so when you see a son going to America, it's because there's an agenda. You know what? He said, unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And he said, what? The government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. So when a son moves forward, his government is advancing. And until God has sons, our world will remain in darkness. The reason we came with the alarm of encounter is because sons must arise. God is not looking for prophets. God is not looking for apostles. He's not looking for evangelists. He's looking for sons. A son can walk in the office of a prophet. A son can walk in the office of an apostle. But until you become a son, you can't bear the government of God. That's why many apostles today are bringing reproach to the name of God. Many prophets today are bringing reproach to the name of God. Because what God is looking for is not a prophet. It's not an apostle. It's a son. And for you to become a son, it's not something you do by resolution. It's a spiritual protocol. It's by beholding Jesus. Because he is the pattern man. It is in him that the dimensions of sonship are revealed. And so the Bible said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord. That's the only time sonship can be revealed. You can be born again for 20 years, but until you behold him, you can never be changed. They said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord. We are changed. The world is metamorphosis. So when you see an egg, you don't know that egg has the potential of a butterfly. When metamorphosis takes place, you will see colors on the wing. Where did it come from? It's metamorphosis. If a generation begins to see Jesus, suddenly weak men will become sons. And when weak men become sons, God can give them kingdom. That's when you will see the lady of 17 years. They say, I'm going to Zaria. And then you say, no, nobody's going to Zaria. I've read the blueprint of my destiny. You can see a young boy of 19 years. He say, I'm going to Canada. You say, you can't go to Canada. When a son speaks, keep quiet. Because he's a governmental agent. When he speaks, the government of heaven will back him up. Even if there is no way, angels will descend to earth. And they will open the door. Because you can't stop them. They come with government. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, he said, God works sundry times in diverse manners, speak unto us by the prophet, has in this last day spoken unto us by Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And he said something, upholding all things. That's the beauty of his son, by the word of his power. When sons emerge, God can rest. That's why he said, children are the heritage of the Lord. He said, blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be afraid of the enemy at the gate. Because when sons come, they advance the will of their father. And the will of God is government. When you see a Christian that doesn't have burdens for the kingdom, it's because he's a child. When you tell him, let's go pray for Abuja, let's go pray for Nigeria, he will come and snore. But he'll be snoring when you say, God wants to give a job, he will come alive. Because he thinks of his belly. But when sons rise, it is burdens that fuel them. The more burdens God crystallize, the stronger they become. And then you are wondering what is happening. That's how they survive. They survive by tapping into the economy of the Father's will. And until they fulfill the Father's will, they will never be satisfied. Even when he had to die, mean dying on the cross, Jesus went there. The Bible said he sweated, and his sweat was as thick as blood. But the office of sonship necessitates that until the will of the Father is accomplished, he cannot rest. He said, oh, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. When was the last time you prayed like that? I know you've been in conferences. You have even lived with apostles. But when was the last time you prayed the Father's will? When was the last time it was about what God was looking for? When was the last time you said, not my will, but thine? We are ruled by appetites. And because the prince of this world knows our appetite, any day, any time, he can show up and touch that cord. It's like a remote control. The moment he brings a woman, you are gone. The moment he brings money, you are gone. The moment he brings something palatable, you are gone. You don't know the way of sonship. The scar of a son are the many burdens that he bore so that the will of the Father can be accomplished. That's what kingdom is about. And until we get there, our lives will count for nothing. It doesn't matter the number of impartations you receive. It doesn't matter the number of conferences you attend. God is looking for sons. And sons are burden bearers. Until that begins to happen, you have not known the Christ. The revival that is coming is not a revival of miracles. Make no mistakes about that. The revival that is coming is not a revival of signs and wonders. It is the emergence of Christ. A generation that walk in the fullness of the stature of the Son will arise. A generation that can go to the gates of the enemy and say, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. And when the devil challenges you, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong, mighty, he is the King of glory. That's the revival coming. It's a revival of sons. Sons that can bear burden, that even if it has to do with martyrdom, they are willing to die. For me to perish, I will perish. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The revival that is coming is not a revival of open doors for us to travel abroad. The revival that is coming is not a revival that is going to make us famous. The revival that is coming is a revival that will raise sons that can bear the burdens of Abba. How much burdens can you carry? How much burdens? In the area of prayer, how much burdens can you carry? In the area of finances, how much burdens can you carry? When God is looking for men, will you be counted? Those are the things that drive us in the last day. Oh Lord, if you are looking for one man, let me be that man. And if it means dying, it's an honor. Those are the men God is looking for. Make no mistakes, he's not moved by number. Because God knows how numbers work. People can be many, but they are not relevant. But the Bible said, Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that turn their words upside down. 1,000 priests could not turn their words upside down. They sat in the church as high priest. It was a Sanhedrin. There were scribes and Pharisees, but there was darkness. But two militants rose up, and they said, "We will take the nations for Christ." And every territory they went to, they created an uproar. They said, "What is happening?" Paul and Barnabas is there. A point came, they went to Econo, and they said, "The same men that caused problem in Debe, they have come to us." Because everywhere they go, unless they don't find what God is doing, even when God is not talking, they are searching for bodies. Paul came into the city. The Holy Ghost didn't talk to him, and he went out. He was looking for body. "Lord, you are saying something about this man. I can't sit inside. Well, what will I be in one place? What are you saying?" And he found somewhere, when it was written, to the unknown God, he found his pathway. He came into the temple, and he said, "This God that you call the unknown God, that's the one I serve. Sit down, let me tell you about him." The Holy Ghost had not spoken, but bodies will not let him rest. When men are sleeping, they stand up at night, and then you hear a sound from the other room. Koko kaka. You say, "Come on, people are sleeping. What's going on there?" A son is crying. When will you deliver Abuja? When will you deliver Nigeria? And you think, "Oh, people are sleeping." You can't hear his door. You will be wondering what is going on. You may call them mad, but they are driven by bodies. Those are the people God is looking for. Only an encounter will make it happen. It's not stories that make such men. Because sometimes when you begin to pray those bodies, you become obscured. You may be popular before you started praying. Maybe your life was in cruise mode until you now started praying for the nations. Then the princes now hear you. Say, "Who is this bringing this signal?" They will come and crumble your job. If you don't know what matters, you will tell God, "Sorry, I came to the wrong location." You will run back. You don't know warfare. When the prince is here, there are certain words you are not permitted to say. When you say it, they will ask you, "Where did you learn it from?" Those are sacred words that were given as codes to unlock territories. How come you know this word? That you utter this word, you will be in trouble. But it's a good kind of trouble. Because if it will advance the kingdom, throw your best shot. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for sons. Sons who can bear the burdens of the kingdom. And the second thing God is looking for are priests. Time is a body. Time is a body. We will crack this city open. We will turn this city upside down. Not many days from now, militants will rise. And then you will wonder, where are these ones coming from? They will enter the government. They will enter the market. They will enter the academia. And they will take things. They are not waiting for the kingdom to be handed over. They will take it by force. Wasting time. They say you need to step on the scene now. I've waited for too long. Strange men will begin to rise. Men who are not moved by church gathering. They are not moved by apostolic gathering. They are looking for territories that they will take for Jesus. Because they have become sons. They have become sons. That's what's about to happen. And it's an encounter that we bet it. Are you the one to come? Or do we expect another? I know you are a businessman, but that's a platform. It's not a job you are looking for. You were sent there to take it over. I know you are an academician. It's a platform. I know you are in politics. It's a platform. Because when you get there, God will have a voice. Then you know that sons have been born. Priesthood have played their part. I came to tell you that a new era is about to emerge. Thank God for their labors. But there's a new sound from Zion. And this sound is not about church congregation. This sound is not about gatherings. Will men continue to gather? Yes. Because the church is the training center of revival. But much more than gathering, a sound is coming from heaven for those who have the capacity to take territories, to take nations. When they read the scripture, my spirit came alive. He said, ask of me. I'm not giving you a church. I will give you the heathen for an inheritance. The uttermost part of the earth for your possession. There are men that will take Lagos. There are men that will take Afghanistan. There are men that will take the United Kingdom. And they will push back the princes of darkness. Because we have come. The time is now. The powers of heaven will respond to their voice. Because they have come to bring the business of emancipation. It is for this purpose that we are here. It is for this purpose that we are gathered. To sound the shofar that a new season is upon us. We are not moving because we are ambitious. We are moving because a burden drives us. We can no longer be quiet. There is something in our spirit that the Holy Ghost wants to give expression to. The Holy Ghost is looking for access. He wants to find liberty. He can't be caged anymore. Darkness must be caused to move back. But sons must rise. Sons must rise. And you are one of those sons. You cease to be a church member. You cease to be a member of an apostolic center. You become a citizen of a kingdom. Because you will bear your burden, you will bear your part, and you will bear your mark. He said, until the time of John, the kingdom of God suffered violence. But the violence takes it by force. The time has come for men who will seize kingdoms to rise. Those ones, their designation is sons. Want to pray in the Holy Ghost? Something is brooding in the spirit. Something is already brooding. Ah! Ye barakulia tatakiva. Pray the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Give expression to a body. Just in case you have caught one. Sayane takiva. Raitaka halunia tateana. Is in the rising of sons, and the fathers will continue to struggle till they take responsibilities. And so God is sounding another alarm that responsible Christians, responsible sons will begin to emerge. Cities will no longer be left in desolation, and we are waiting for people that we think are established to come there. Some of you will
from your Jerusalem. Some of you will start from where you are, and from there you will cry, and your voice will create a reverberation, and it will take the city. In the name of Jesus, please sit down. I don't want to enter this window. You know, some of the things we are saying, they are deep matters. Only those who journey in the spirit understand that things are not as they used to be anymore. There are summons taking place in the spirit. Men are being summoned to high places. Designations are already taking place. God is beginning to apportion territory. Why do you think we are coming to the do you think we are coming here because something is happening? We had access to nations, but we are coming here because the battle has been taken to the gates. The battle is being moved to the gates. And so, the same way the apostles migrated from Jerusalem to Antioch, that's why sons are looking for where the sounds are. Because shofars must be sounded from the center of government. Why do you think I came to Khan? You think I don't have better auditoriums? We are coming to the seat of power where spiritual legislation takes place. We know the sounds of the spirit. Very soon, a generation of young people, boys and girls, will rise. And they will do signs and wonders. Men that can command the constellations to move. And we know it's not only for Joshua and his generation. And that's why God is not only raising sons, he's also raising priests. The idea of priesthood is to go back to before the foundation of the world. And that's why priesthood is intimacy. Priesthood is not just prayer. Priesthood is gaining access to the secrets of the kingdom through intimacy. When the priest in the days of Moses entered the Holy of Holies, what they do is not a ritual. What the priest does is that he goes back to before the foundation of the world and he opens the records. And the record of sin is covered. That's why Israel is forgiven for 1 year. The priest is carrying out a sacred assignment. He's entering the lexicon of ages past, finding out where was it said that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That's where the priest goes to. He finds that lamb in the spirit. I know you are the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Where are the records? That's why the priest journeys from the outer court. He leaves the sun. He enters the inner court. He leaves the menorah and he goes to where the Shekinah himself dwells. He's looking. I heard in the spirit that the lamb is not going to be slain 2,000 years later. He was slain before the foundation of the world. So he will dig into the archives of heaven and he will find the record. When he finds it, he uses blood to change it. That's what priesthood is. Access to spiritual codes through intimacy. And for that to happen, we must come to a point where our heart posture is re-engineered. Because your prayer is useless until your heart posture has been re-engineered. Because where God alights is not on this altar. Where God alights is the altar of your heart. And so when a man begins a journey of intimacy, something happens. He may be a hard man. He doesn't know how to say sorry. But when he travels deep, sometimes God brings him before the fire of the altar. When that fire begins to burn him, he starts crying like a child. And then you say, what is happening? I thought you were a strong man. There are no strong men there. Because there, you stand only before the Shekinah. And he will choose the dimension he will reveal to you in order to tame the kind of flesh that have made you a slave. Yours may be lust. Yours may be immorality. He will allow you. When the priesthood powers begin to rule you, sometimes he brings you to where the light of heaven dwells. And after a while, that light will season your soul like an X-ray radiation. And it will alter your heart posture until lust will die. And suddenly it will be said that thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. It's not because you are applying discipline or resolution. You have come to where righteousness beams like fire. You can't alter, you can't say he will break you, because it's a journey of intimacy. Sometimes you will meet the coals of fire and your tongue is sharp and you think you can manipulate things. Suddenly you will see the seraphims. Nobody will talk to you. You will begin to judge yourself. Oh, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell among unclean people. And then they will touch your tongue with the coals of fire. When that man returns, he will not only be giving word of knowledge, it is from that point that he will say unto us, a child is born, because his tongue has been re-engineered. The heart posture has been re-engineered. Government can now begin. If priests don't rise, the kingdom will not move. I know there's a prayer movement coming. Don't be among those who bastardizes, because it's not about a show of prayer. It's about journeying into depths where your heart can be re-engineered. He'll say to Ezekiel, he said, I've taken from you the heart of stone and I've put there the heart of flesh. That's what priesthood is about. That your heart will become an altar. And day and night, the Holy Ghost can alight upon you. It is when the Holy Ghost alights that legislation begins. Because you don't do legislation with your head. The princes you are dealing with, they are ancients. The Bible said Lucifer walked to and fro in the midst of the coals of fire. He wasn't born yesterday. He knows your great-grandfather. He knows your grandfather. Hope you know the Bible said Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob also loved fair women. There is a record in your ancestry. They have all of it. And so when they come to fight you and you want to use your mind, you are defeated before you started. You must align until the Holy Ghost descend. He will be the one to tell you, wake up by 12. Go out of the compound and give God thanks. It's a code. If you like, come and make it a doctrine. 1,000 people will do it, it will not work, because the battle of your father's house is different from that of another. You will need a different strategy to work it, because what God wants to do is not to answer prayers. He wants to teach you the ways of the Spirit. So in the journey of priesthood, we find the God that dwells in secret. But I tell you, there are too many Christians who can't find God. You know, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me. You don't know the implication of that statement. If you don't hear his voice now, when the rapture takes place, you may not hear. Because it's the same way he speaks to you now that he will speak at the rapture. He won't say it audibly. It's the way he says it spiritually that he will still say it there. That's why not everybody will hear. Because God is expecting that if you say you are his sheep, you would have journeyed with him enough to be able to pick his frequencies. But there are too many Christians who don't know the frequency of God. When they want to marry, they do tininitanana. Is it A? Is it B? Is it C? You are doomed. It's because there's no priesthood. We have offices and titles in church, but we can't hear God because we have not tarried enough. You know, when Moses began to learn the way of priesthood, sometimes it took him 40 days to climb Sinai. And when he has climbed Sinai, you think he will meet God. He will still wait for 6 days. It is when he tarries there that his soul will crack. And when his soul crack, then the king descends. And then he will tell him, go and speak to the rock and water will come. There's no water in the desert, but when the king says talk to the rock, water will come out from there. If he lives there and you come and talk to the rock, nothing will happen, because he has a backing from intimacy. A generation that knows God so deep needs to be born. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 21, he said Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. Even when God hid himself, his priesthood and stature, he could find God. How come we cannot find God in common and simple life situation? Because there's no priesthood. Meanwhile, we brag of titles, we brag of number, but we don't have men that can pick the frequencies of heaven. A new generation must rise. There are things that are bigger than miracles. There are things that makes you eternally relevant. When you know these things, God will now consort with you to carry out kingdom legislation. He said, will I do a thing and not reveal it to my servant? How can the God of heaven consult with a man before doing something? It is where they commune. It's a function of the depth where they commune. So even God, even though God is not obligated to Abraham, intimacy won't let him. So any news in the heart of God, he wants to share it, because Abraham is always around that corridor. People need to rise that are around the corridors. They stay there in the morning, they stay there in the afternoon, they stay there in the night. Even though they are businessmen, in their office they know what to say. Sometimes when they even speak in tongues, they are excelling, because the Holy Ghost just passed and they picked him and they give expression. And then you are wondering, say, what is happening? Is priesthood taking place? Priest must rise. We came to show a generation the way of priesthood by the mercies of God and by the instrumentality of grace. And finally, is to wield the scepter of kingship. When these three things begin to happen, I'm pressed for time. Then we'll begin to lock the soulish gates. Do you know why we are weak? We don't have men that have locked the gates of the soul. And so, because we cannot do without sin, we now introduce a doctrine of righteousness. That righteousness is only a nature. Because a gate is open and we can't close it. So when we say righteousness is only a nature, even when you sin with pastor will tell you, forget, we are righteous. But he said in 1 John chapter 3 verse 7, he said, little children, let no man deceive you. Him that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Righteousness is not only a nature, it's a lifestyle. It is in the lifestyle of righteousness that God is glorified. In the nature of righteousness, the fatherhood of God is revealed. But in the lifestyle of righteousness, God is glorified. The only way God can be glorified in your life is when you live out righteously. But when gates are open in our soul, we will look for a way to be comfortable in sin, and we'll look for a doctrine to cover it. When our soul is porous, our goal and focus will be things. And so we can no longer give to God. We will can all we can, and we will keep it for ourselves. Because gates are open. When sons rise, when priests rise, and when kings rise, a generation that is ready to advance the kingdom is born. And you are a part of that generation. We came to announce to you that a new order of Christianity has come to earth. We are not the one bringing it, but we have heard the sound, and so we have aligned with it. That men that pray will rise. Men that give will rise. Men that fast will rise. Men that live righteously, not just as a nature but as a lifestyle, will rise. Men that fear the Lord will rise. Men that honor one another will rise. The time when the church is so divided because of envy and selfishness is over. Because this generation God is giving birth to, we will love ourselves as though we are obsessed. And so the devil can't find any porous entity. Everyone will be humble and we walk in love. And so even though you are offended, you will go and make peace. You will not go and backbite. Because we know that unity is not just a function of whether I like or I don't like. Unity is our scepter in the spirit. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. It's a complete generation. And there are many more that will rise. Because our emergence is a parable to a generation. That many more generations, many more voices will rise. Suddenly you will find young men of 18, young men of 19, young men of 20 doing mighty things. And you ask yourself, how? They will tell you, it's the hand of God. They say, for the hand of God was upon Elijah, and he outran the chariots of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. You will see women doing great things, and you say, why? How is this possible? It's the hand of God. A generation have emerged, and on the shoulders of that generation, the governments of the age can be placed. This is why you were summoned. The goal of this holy convergence is because God is calling a generation that he wants to trust, a generation he wants to hand kingdom to, not just a generation that seeks him for what he has to offer, but a generation that wants to do his will, a generation that wants to bear his body and say, Lord, what is my part? I want to play it. We may show up excellent because it's necessary, but in our spirit we are rugged. Because what we came to do is to fight. Is to fight to defend the will of God and to proclaim his government over a generation. Bow your heads and pray. It's a solemn moment. It's a solemn moment. You are going to tell the Lord you are ready. Because from tonight, God will conscript functionaries. I know you've been a Christian for long, but tonight, God will conscript functionaries. I know some of us are even ministers, But it's beyond preaching a good sermon. It's the man that God can trust. Commitments will be made, because a day is upon us. From you, if you were there to say, Lord, I'm ready, use me, you will be amazed. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all the things that the Gentiles seek will be added to you. The things we trouble our heads for most times are the additions. We don't just know that when we give our all to God, God will give his all back to us. We don't know what God is looking for. It's the totality of our hearts. And so tonight there's a song. Just in case you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, not the religious one now, and say, Lord, use me for your glory. Place your hands on your chest. For those of you in the city of Abuja, we will have time to dig into the world. I just came to cast the body. But there is so much more God wants to do. If your hand is on your chest, stand up. If you are not sure, you can still sit down.
Blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.